T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's ready to go.
On the Fan,
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on.
Mike is off today. He will return gallantly on Monday. JJ and Evan Roberts sitting in until 6:30 this evening. Rosenberg and Hoffman are pressing all the buttons on the other side of the glass, and we're broadcasting to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We head down to Florida. A state I will be visiting very soon.
Must be nice.
But I'm skipping you, Sweeney, and it's not personal, okay? You know I love you. I'm skipping you. But I will be down there to see the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Mets. But here he is, the voice of Yankee spring training, Sweeney Murdy.
Sweeney!
How can I not take it personal? You always skip me.
That was one time I forgot
it's
to say
hi. It's like the Masters. It's traditional, not, like any like other, Sweeney.
It's not like he's sitting there saying, you know, this time I'm going to skip you. No, he always skips me.
No.
Yes.
It was one time, and I did feel bad about it because I like seeing your face. It's not like, you know what, maybe I'm paying you back for the way you and somebody else set me up with A-Rod in that locker room in Baltimore years ago. Now, maybe it's a little payback for that.
Payback for what? I told you to go up and talk to him.
Yeah, and you knew how it would go, that's for sure. How is the weather down there right now? Is it nice?
It's hot, yeah. It's in the 80s all week. There's been a couple of showers and really nothing rain-wise here. I don't know. I haven't seen when it's supposed to cool up. I don't think it's anytime soon.
Are you, because JJ doesn't care about this. I do. I get excited for that first spring training game, even though it's, you know, it's baseball that's a month out. Is there a little butterfly in your stomach for tomorrow making that long, long bus ride or car ride to see the Red Sox and the Yankees tomorrow? Your little butterflies in there, Sweeney?
Butterflies? No, not butterflies. I'm always excited for the games. You know, spring. I always say spring training comes in stages. You love when pitchers and catchers report. And after a couple of days just watching them go about their business, you say, okay, when do position players report? And the position players get here. You watch batting practice for a few days. You're like, all right, when do the games start? Now you're at the games. Another week, you'll be like, you know, when do the real games start? You know, that's what we really want to see. Because, you know, it's all about, to me, it's all about, you know, wanting to figure out who wins, who loses, and that never really comes much into play during the course of spring training games. So it's another one of the steps that just gets you excited for what's happening on March 28th.
Sweeney, we have not had a conversation in quite some time, and I miss you, pal. It's good to hear your voice, but...
Well, where you been?
I know, working every day, Sweeney, like you. We work. That's what we do. But I have you on now, and I've not gotten your thought on the Yankee offseason. And I know a lot of Yankee fans will be of the mindset that they wanted Manny Machado, they wanted Bryce Harper. But I look at the moves that were made, Sweeney. I see Paxton and Happ in this rotation. I see LeMahieu added to be the contact hitting infielder. I look at Britton and Ottavino in the bullpen. And even without Machado or Harper, I got to be honest, Sweeney, I'm A-okay with this offseason. I thought it was fantastic from a Yankee standpoint.
There's a lot of upside to every move they made, and pitching especially. And that was what, you know, they considered that their weakest spot. So the move they made very early in the offseason, I think, gets overlooked because of how early it was made. You know, James Paxton hasn't pitched a game yet for the Yankees, and we forget that, you know, that's a big part of what their offseason plan was about. I was of the mind that Machado or Harper, one of them, would be here by the time we got to this point. So it didn't materialize that way. The markets for those guys were slow to develop, and the Yankees ended up moving quicker to fill their needs. And I don't think they would have gotten to the 10-300 range that Machado got in San Diego, so probably better they didn't spend all that time. But they decided that there wasn't going to be room for them to wait to fill all of their needs, and they're, despite what everybody thinks, there is a finite number the Yankees are willing to spend, and that's kind of about where they are right now. They decided to devote their resources to the pitching mostly and short a couple other holes. went the minimum route with Tulowitzki. We'll see what that bears out. I know a lot of people here who are excited about the LeMahieu move.
You know, you said something I heard, and JJ has said the same thing, and while you guys are right, because it's what the Yankees are going to do, I just don't agree with it. It's the idea that either Greg Bird or Luke Voit is making this team. And if they're going to carry 13 pitchers and you do the math on it, logically that's what's going to happen. I don't think that's a good idea. Are you a fan of carrying that many pitchers, especially when you've got a really good front end of your bullpen? You have a top of the rotation where guys you think are going to go deep into games. I would prefer to carry both of them because I could see a lot of ways where if Bird and Voit are performing, they're both playing. You know, maybe Giancarlo's playing left field and one of them is DHing. Your thoughts on the first base battle and the idea that the Yankees are going to carry that many pitchers on their roster?
Well, they're looking at LeMahieu as their backup first base option at this point. He hasn't really played there, but I think everybody seems to believe that based off of his ability as an infielder, he'll be able to transition there pretty well, and that's their backup option. The versatility factor is hurt if you're carrying an extra first baseman who's only a first baseman you're carrying, considering that a strict platoon. I think based on how you're presenting it, Evan, I guess the idea is on a day-to-day basis, are you going to be better off having one extra first baseman on the bench or one extra pitcher in the bullpen? And I think on a day-to-day basis, they're going to count the extra pitcher in their bullpen as being more valuable, given that they can give rest to certain guys. You can listen, it never works perfectly, but I think you're envisioning a rotation where you use these two guys to set up on this day, or maybe these three guys, then give somebody a day off, and then somebody else rotates in, and you avoid trying to blow people out early when you try to do that.
You know, I guess what my problem is, look, if Luke Voit had a big spring training and Greg Bird got hurt or hit 150, I think it's easy, right? Luke Voit played well down the stretch. He became the first baseman. Luke Voit's the guy. I guess the idea that another big spring from Greg Bird and Luke Voit doing, you know, averagely should be enough to have Luke Voit in AAA after what he did last year and after what Greg Bird did last year, I don't know. That's kind of tough to deal with, that we're going to base something in March for a month that's going to send Luke Voit to the minors and make Greg Bird basically the everyday first baseman.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick a winner in this based off of what you're going to see over the course of, you know, the sporadic every other game that these every other day games that these guys are probably going to play for a little while, maybe a couple of back to back. I agree with you on how the decision process is kind of flawed, but it's kind of what you're going with. And when you're only looking at the three man bench, that's all, you know, this is all part of it. Because you're stuck to the three man bench, you have to decide on one of those and can't carry both of those. But I do see a little bit of the logic in carrying a guy who's only a first baseman as one of your two bench guys, when you consider that, you know, and I guess you're arguing that there should be a third bench guy besides the catcher, but I just don't see any way around that at this point. Boone's not closing the door on it, because I think that you're looking at the injury factor to outfielders and maybe end up only carrying four because of something like that, or maybe, you know, something happens with one of the pitchers and you say, okay, let's roll the dice with 12 to start, something like that. But I think that if everybody is healthy the way that we plotted out, I think they're just stuck on one first baseman. LeMahieu moves around the infield. They've talked about him being part of a 10-man for 9-spot rotation pretty much every day, so that, you know, one guy is always sitting out and LeMahieu gets his share of his bats.
Sweeney, to me, Clint Frazier is one of the more fascinating people going into this camp, because we know of his upside. We know of the hype coming over from Cleveland and that Andrew Miller deal, and the concussions and all the injuries have obviously taken their toll. Clint Frazier, though, you would figure coming off the concussion deal is not going to be a guy that's going to be here playing 1 or 2 days a week. What would he need to do, in your opinion, in order to make this 25-man roster?
I think he needs to stay healthy and show a little something to make the roster. The playing time after that is something that I think is just going to have to be earned along the way. Brett Gardner is on this team, and his playing time won't be as normal, I think, as it has been. I think, you know, Frazier is here to supplement that. But exactly how much, I think that really depends on what we see Clint Frazier become, because we haven't seen him become anything yet. You know, it's a little bit different than Greg Bird's case, because at least Bird has had some spots where you saw him and you say, okay, I have an idea when he's healthy what I think he is. You know, Clint Frazier missed all of last season, and you're still kind of waiting to see a prolonged period of any kind to say, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting here. So if he, listen, he's going to be on the road trips both of the next 2 days and start the road back, playing left field tomorrow. He's going to DH on Sunday. And it's just a matter of getting him some at-bats and seeing what you see. It's still always so dangerous to evaluate guys in March. It's, you know, in this case, February. But when you're talking about these positions and the guys we're talking about, it's kind of all you have to go on, and that's what you have to use to make a decision, and then you adjust after that.
So going back to what you were saying earlier about and talking about Clint Frazier, you view Brett Gardner as a part-time player this year.
I would say, when I say that, I don't mean in the traditional, you know, he's playing once or twice a week. I think, you know, he is sharing those duties with Frazier. I think the defense that Gardner brings is something the Yankees value a great deal. It's probably one of the main reasons they brought him back as quickly as they did. They consider him a premium defender in left field and also their backup center fielder in case anything happens. Hicks, he's also very good there. This is a team that lacks premium defenders,
right,
at, you know, all across the diamond. They consider Gardner one. So lock him up early, that was something key for him.
Last year, when they were in the playoffs, their leadoff hitter was Andrew McCutchen. He's not here anymore. If Brett Gardner is, you know, like you said, he's not playing once or twice a week, and even when he does play, I don't think I'd lead him off. To me, the leadoff hitter is Aaron Hicks. It's easy to me. I don't even think it's that complicated. Is that the answer? Do you view Aaron Hicks as the likely most of the time leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees?
I would say that's likely. I think the only thing that can change that is if they're looking to sprinkle, and let's just, for argument's sake, Luke Voit is your first baseman, and Greg Bird is not. That's one more right-handed bat, one less lefty bat.
Right.
If you need to sprinkle another lefty bat in the middle of the order for some reason, maybe that's something you do with Hicks and drop him down to break up some of the guys. But otherwise, yeah, I don't see any reason that Aaron Hicks cannot be the leadoff hitter on a regular basis. Saw a lot of pitches, drew a lot of walks, good on-base guy for them. So he makes a lot of sense for them.
Oh, who else would it be? I mean, JJ, would it be Gleyber Torres?
Well, I don't like the idea of Aaron Judge leading off Sweeney.
No,
I've read a lot about that. I think that's a terrible idea.
You read about it because the question is asked, and Boone just doesn't say, no, it's not going to happen. He said, yeah, well, maybe. And he kind of smiles when he says it.
But, he did that last year,
honestly,
too.
It didn't happen. You know, yeah. He said the same thing last year, and it never happened.
The great Sweeney Murdy joining us here on The Fan. And Sweeney, the way I look at the American League East, and look, the Yankees and the Red Sox are loaded. I think Tampa's going to have a very good team as well. But one of the things that killed this Yankee team a season ago is the fact that Gary Sanchez stunk. He couldn't catch. He couldn't hit. It was a nightmare. Both sides of the ball. I think you look at X factors, and I know we could talk about Paxton. I know we could talk about LeMahieu. But I think one of, if not the biggest key to this Yankee year, is Gary Sanchez getting back to a point where he was 2 years ago. It can't be another year where Gary Sanchez is hitting 180 and is a nightmare behind a plate.
Yeah, I mean, and the offense is really where he's going to make the difference here. And if he shows some improvement behind the plate, great. You know, I think we're all going to go through this exercise where we're going to be pointing out, oh, look, there's another fastball. There it is. You know, it's not like he's going to go from, you know, 18 to none. No, there's going to be some there, and you kind of have to deal with it. It's easier to deal with when he's hitting 33 home runs. And if you're going back to the 2017 form and getting out of this rut where, you know, the injuries were certainly part of the problem last year, but you're right, you can't hit 180-something and expect to dig out of this. The Yankees are expecting bounce backs from there. I think they're hoping that there's some consistent level of production from first base, no matter who it is, because they really haven't had that since Mark Teixeira left. You know, imagine that it's been this hard to replace Mark Teixeira. The Yankees did not have to work this hard to replace Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera. They've had to work very hard in the years since to replace Robinson Cano and Mark Teixeira. So I think that, you know, they've obviously found Gleyber Torres. They're looking, as I said, for bounce backs from first base, bounce back at catcher, and you think that that's, you know, I don't know the marginal difference here, though. You know, they're still a team that you look at and say they win 95 plus games. That's what you said a year ago. You know, it's hard to make all these different things and say this is better, this is better, this is better, and tell you that it's worth 12 more wins, because it's really not possible to do that very often in baseball when you're talking about winning that many more than 100 games. Red Sox did it a year ago. You just don't see it all that often. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're still they're counting on that bounce back from Sanchez and still look at themselves with a lot of positive factors that will lead them to that 95-plus win category.
Want to play a game, Sweeney? You ready?
What do you got?
All right. JJ, you want to play a game?
Yeah, I like a game.
Because you said something, and it's so true, and that's replacing Mark Teixeira, who I think is kind of an underappreciated Yankee. Mm-hmm. Since Mark Teixeira retired after the 2016 season, it's been two seasons, 17 and 18, pretty good years for the Yankees. They have started how many different guys at first base? And then we could play the game of naming all of them.
I'm going to say 11.
You're going to go with 11. Sweeney, 11. Give me a guess.
I'm going, this has started?
Started a game at first base in 2017 and 2018. Or either year, obviously.
I'm going to go under 11. I don't have a number for you, but I know the one we're going to forget is Chris Carter.
Well, you know what's funny about Chris Carter? Chris Carter started the most games for the Yankees in 2017 at first base. Number one.
Troy?
Yeah.
You want to do the list? Because, by the way, here's the answer. You ready, sweetie? This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's higher than 11.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, really?
12 guys. So good guess, JJ. Wow. Or maybe you knew. 12 guys started at first base. So what makes me laugh, Sweeney mentions Chris Carter because, hey, the guy played more games than anybody at first base. And then JJ mentions Choi, who was one of the random guys who had like a handful of starts.
Yeah, I forgot all about him.
How many can we name? You ready? Want to play it?
I'm going to lose bad. You know, I'm going to start naming guys from before that because the names that pop into my head right away are guys like Lyle Overbay. That was like 5 years ago. The other one that, you know, if you want to start naming, Travis Ishikawa started two games.
Ishikawa?
He did. And,
Tyler Austin?
So those are the guys. Yeah, there you go. Tyler, I forgot about Tyler.
There are so many guys that we would all forget. And the only reason I know it is because I looked it up this morning because I was intrigued
by
it.
Did Billy Butler play first base for the Yankees?
Yeah, I'm going to lose badly on this and not remember any of them.
So in 16, Mark Teixeira's last year with the Yankees, that's the year Billy Butler played. That's the year Chris Parmalee played, Dustin Ackley, guys like that.
Dustin Ackley, jeez. Okay.
But and Lyle Overbay is not only a good call, but in 2015, I think it was 2015 or 2014, Lyle Overbay started 115 games at first base.
And played well.
It was 13. It was the year Teixeira got hurt in the WBC. Yep.
That's right. So here's the list of guys. You ready? Greg Bird, obviously, played the most games at first base last year. Neil Walker, who played the second most games at first base last year. Luke Voit, Tyler Austin, Brandon Drury. In 2017, Chris Carter, Chase Headley, Garrett Cooper started 13 games at first base.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Matt Holliday started 7 games at first base. Choi, who JJ mentioned, 4 games. Austin Romine started 4 games.
Yeah.
And the immortal Rob Refsnyder started 4 games at first base.
I probably would have gotten a Romine next, but I don't know why my brain's not working with these guys. The first baseman are just all slipping past. That's quite a list.
It's but crazy.
Like I told you, the Yankees went from Derek Jeter to Didi Gregorius. Boom, problem solved.
I know.
You know, and they look at all. You want a better? Go look at all the second basemen. You know, from Brian Roberts and Stephen Drew and everybody else that they went. You know,
yeah.
there was a lot that went into that until Torres came up. So yeah, they've. They've had some issues there.
But do you guys think that the end of this kind of, you know, 12-man train we've seen of guys coming in and out of first base, you really think it's going to end with either Luke Voit or Greg Bird?
I think my money's on no.
I think here's the weird part about it.
Mm-hmm.
If Greg Bird wins the job, then you can kind of envision what the Yankees have been saying all along, okay? This is the guy that we've seen here. This is what we believe he can do, and then you kind of move that along. If Luke Voit wins the job, you're not going to be quite sure as to how long this is going to last. So I don't think you're going to think of Luke Voit as the long-term solution if he wins the job. I think you can at least picture Greg Bird as a longer-term solution just based on what you know about him if he stays healthy and wins the job.
Sweeney, let's play another game. And this is always entertaining for me, thinking about this guy, because he's grossly overpaid. I think he's one of, if not the worst contract in Yankee history. Will Jacoby Ellsbury play another game in the regular season for the New York Yankees, Sweeney Marty?
Yeah, oh boy. You know, I mean, how do you even begin to think when the guy hasn't done anything? here's the thing that, you know, I look at what his role could possibly be on this team. When you go back to this time a year ago, and this latest set of injuries hadn't happened yet, but they were talking about him coming in and trying to win back his job from Aaron Hicks. That was the way Brian Cashman put it. Go back to September of 2017. Jacoby Ellsbury played the best month he's ever played in a Yankee uniform. And when the playoffs started, he found himself on the bench. Aaron Hicks was starting every game in center field. So when you come back the next year and say he can win back his job, well, he can't play any better than he did in the month before the playoffs, and he still took his job away. So there really isn't – I mean, listen, Ellsbury not being here, not being healthy, is why – Clint Frazier has an easier path to making this team and contributing, and why, you know, you're not playing this game of who do you, you know, what do you do with Gardner and Ellsbury? The longer he stays away, the less of a headache it is. And honestly, it's not something anybody, I think, has to worry about right now. He's still several weeks away from even coming to Tampa and thinking about ramping up baseball activities. And like I said, they took away his job and didn't seem to have any role for him that had any meaning for him. It's not even something you can even think about right now. Let him get through everything and show that he's healthy enough to play, and then you figure it out, because we haven't gotten to that point in a really long time.
No kidding. Sweeney, we appreciate it, my friend.
All right, guys, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right, Sweeney.
Sweeney Murdy down in Florida. Yankees are going to play their first spring training game. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.